けた今を決しては見ないように塞いだ過去、切り捨てられてしまった可能性、不可逆で再生は二度と叶わない、何度も深く傷ついた悲しみの果て、心臓の鼓動を消して止め
. Hello, you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how was the last 4 weeks since we haven't had a discussional?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's it. Just interesting.
Yeah. Interesting is a good thing.
I've been just vegging and playing Genshin Impact and Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Surgery does that too. So I've had plenty of free time, and I have done nothing that I plan on doing. Like, it's like you get set to, like, okay, you're going to be out for, like, 2 weeks. So you have plenty of time to do things. And what do? I play Genshin Impact and Animal Crossing the entire stinking time. I don't read any of the manga that I plan on reading. I don't beat any of the games that I plan on beating. All the visual novels, all the manga, light novels, anime, none of it. I just run around a stupid open world with waifus and...
You didn't finish all the quest thing, did you? Supposedly, that's a bad idea. Because there's nothing to do after you finish all the quests.
Done that, yes.
Yeah?
Pretty much the only thing left is just to wait until the days they allow you to farm certain materials, because it's all date locked. And I guess we can get into that now. I mean, impressions on Genshin Impact, I kind of plan on doing it later, so if you don't like game stuff, you can skip forward. But yeah, so it's by miHoYo, and they're a company that did what was the other one they did? Genshin, it was a mobile game. Honkai Impact. Sorry, I was thinking it was Genshin something, and it's actually something Impact. I never mess with Honkai. I mean, I watched the videos of it and stuff. I'm like, I don't really care much for an action game on a mobile game. So, yeah, and I guess the initial impressions when they first announced it was like, okay, this is a Breath of the Wild clone. But then, like, over time, they started showing, like, you know, the actual gameplay that they have with the characters and the combat and stuff. It's like, okay, this might be something a little more to it than just a copy-paste kind of thing. And I think they definitely achieved that. I mean, it still has the art style to it, and some of the enemies look like they're straight out of it. Some of the music sounds like straight out of Breath of the Wild. I mean, every time a tune plays, I'm thinking of the Zelda equivalent of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, and I start singing the Zelda tune, and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely inspired by it. But no, it has a storyline you go through, and it's definitely stops at some point, because this is going to be an ongoing thing. It's literally a mobile game kind of setup where here's content, and they're going to release over time new content, new banners, new characters, new content, new story, new banners, just like a mobile game does currently, just in a PC, PS4 platform kind of way. And of course, it's also on mobile. I went on PC because you can play cross-play with the mobile, and the PS3 is locked to the PS4. I'm sorry, the PS4 is locked to the PS4. And I think the Switch is coming out later, and there's a lot of rumors that that will be cross-play with the PC and mobile version, which would be awesome, because I do like... I mean, it plays okay on the phone, like, surprisingly well on the phone, but when you get, like, really crazy, you know, combos you're having to do and things are getting really hairy, you can't do mobile controls.
I wouldn't even want to try with some of the stuff that I get into. That, yeah, nah.
The switching and dashing you're having to do constantly. I mean, the gameplay, the actual combat's really fun and very, very hectic. And I guess that's the only problem. The visuals are amazing. I love the visuals. The visuals are so great. They have so many great Japanese voice actors on this game as well. Like, tons that people would know. Like, I don't know if you know Zangling is like...
I looked up the voice actresses.
What's her name? Chiyo Sakura from Nozaki-kun. So many known voice actors and actresses there. And a lot of them are doing actual promos for them and doing actual gameplay of it on streams.
They even got Maitama in there somewhere.
Yeah, she's Klee. She's coming out tomorrow, I think.
Have fun with that banner. I hope I get her. I probably will drop money for that.
I think she's supposed to come out next banner, but yeah. I know she's got a banner coming up. I think they're talking about it being next tomorrow because Venti's banner is ending tomorrow.
I will say this. I'm already to the point where I'm kind of borderline just flat out frustrated with all the mobile games. And I almost suspect that I could probably let those go for Genshin Impact if it's cross-play on my Switch.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm literally at the point now where I have to fight myself to remember to log into any of the other games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Dead Alive one, I started up just for the fun of it. I got my best sister, and I pretty much have not opened it since then.
I've actually hit the max stamina on that game. And in my mailbox, I have a whole bunch of onigiri.
Oh, they're giving free ones?
Yes.
But no, I like Fate Grand Order. I mean, I did the recent Halloween event just to get the other Elizabeth Mark II, I think is one that I needed. And I'll probably play the next event, which is supposed to have another freebie character that you can get, but... Yeah, like Crossing Void, I'm tempted just to stop logging on that one just because I don't really play it all that much as well. And I think it is mainly because Genshin Impact is definitely, I don't think it's the same breed because it doesn't really necessarily, it does require daily login in order to get a lot of bonuses, which is like mobile games, but it kind of provides a lot more content that you actually enjoy doing.
Well, if anybody who's listened to us for a while, you guys know that when Breath of the Wild came out, we were absolutely raving up and down. And
this is fun to get lost in. Yeah. It's so stupid because it's like, I do realize at some point after doing it for a while, it's like, I have done really nothing. And that's like, that was my last 2 weeks. It's like, I've really done nothing but run around and pick up chests and hit mobs and open and break open ore.
And this game provides that it scratches that itch, which is really kind of what I want. I have debated the idea of going back to the Breath of the Wild quite a few times, but I know that once I do that, it's going to be another 500 hours, especially seeing how I'll probably be going into the hard mode, which is something I've been avoiding like the plague. And it gives me that itch scratch. Yeah,
Breath of the Wild with waifus.
Literally.
And it's stupid because I got so eye-rolly after a while of seeing, because this blew up on Twitch so bad. Like, there was, I mean, you don't usually get waifu games. You don't usually get, you know, banner-based anime games, quote-unquote mobile games, getting front page on Twitch. This thing was getting, like, just thousands upon thousands of views. Like, everybody that started streaming it, their viewership blew up. And they're all like, I guess I'm doing Twitch, doing Genshin Impact now. I was doing this. I know one was doing the Seven Deadly Sins game. And he's like, well, I guess I'm doing this now because this one's blown up like crazy. It took off like crazy. And I think it's mainly because it does have the appeal of Breath of the Wild. But the joke was that every single one of them had to have their title as Breath of the Waifu or Waifu of the Wild or something like that. They always had to do that same joke. But yeah, it blew up. I will say, like I said, visually, it's incredible. I love the animations and the characters, the world itself. It runs great on the PC. It actually runs decent, really very well on the actual mobile, which is surprising. I've seen people play the PS4 version, and it was a little rough on the frame rate, but I'm certain they'll probably fix that over time. They definitely don't seem like they're struggling for money, since they made all the development costs in 1 week.
That does make me kind of concerned about how the Switch will handle it, though.
But I think they're going to try to make it work. That's my point. Like, yeah. If they made that work as well as they did on the phones, I think they're going to make it work on the Switch. At least adjust it to where it actually functions. They're used to working with mobile platforms. Yeah. They've been doing mobile platforms a long time, so I see them actually doing it very well. I think the PS4, I don't know what maybe happened with that. I think that's just really maybe they overestimated what the PS4 can do. Maybe they planned it for the PS4 Pro. I don't really know exactly why they would stumble on that, but I mean, it worked. I'm not saying that didn't function, but yeah, I had the same thought as I'm kind of concerned about how well they can do it for the Switch, but at the same time, it's just going to take adjusting.
I mean,
over push the boundaries of what the visual quality is going to be. Simplify it just for the Switch.
I've dipped my frames a couple times, but it's usually when I'm going into massive, like the harbor. I know that there's a lot of characters that are being loaded in that area. So
I mean, I have a really good rig, and I have everything maxed out. I've only really ran to stutters maybe once or twice in the few weeks that I've been playing it. It's like randomly in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of like the Breath of the Wild thing, where if you go in that one area where there's all that shrubbery and trees, that's where it struggles. It would just be random locations. And I don't know if it's like something on the distance that's loading that's just not loading properly or whatever, but
that's what I automatically assumed it was. It's just trying to load a lot of stuff all at one time. And
yeah. But no, I guess to... So let's get into the negatives. I'm very mixed on the gacha system. On one hand, I think it has the worst rates ever in video game history. And I don't recommend anybody rolling on that game. I literally bought one of each of the first batches that they have, because the first batches, they double everything as a bonus. And I only got 2 5-stars out of all that. And one was I got technically 5 5-stars guaranteed, and they were all pretty much you do get a guaranteed 5-star after, I think, like 90 pulls. But it doesn't have to be a character. It can be a weapon.
And I was going
to
say,
I got a weapon one time, and I literally wanted to throw myself out a window.
I thought that they had a from what I understand, the
pity system.
The pity system. Called, yeah. The pity system, I thought, worked. It seems like it works pretty well. I don't much care for it as far as the 4-stars are concerned, because I don't. I'm really starved for characters, and I'm going mostly free to play. Now, like I said a little while ago, I'll probably dump some money on Clay. But at the same time, I really, really do hope that works out in my favor, because I don't have much luck when it comes to gacha systems. But at the same time, that pity system, I do like it. Because it does, I do seem to be hitting, and I'm doing single pulls. So, and I do know that there's always the mix on whether or not one system is better than the other. But from what I'm under the understanding,
the minology
system on this one is actually going based on how many times you pull.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's technically two pity systems. So just to explain to people, there's two pity systems technically in each banner. The first pity system is that you'll get a 4-star every 10 pulls.
Right.
And then once you get that 4-star, it resets. So you go 1, 2, 3, you got a 4-star, it starts over. 1, 2, 3, 4, right. 5, so you get all the way to 10, you're going to get a 4-star.
Right.
Which really makes it really easy, because there's a lot more, and it's mixed, again, with weapons. So you could get a weapon.
That's my irritation, but that's the same but as you, like with the craft essences. Like most likely you get a character. Yeah, it seems like it.
I think mainly because there's more characters than weapons, so I hope that they keep that pool pretty well even.
I haven't seen the orange wish star yet. I've seen the black wish star, but I have not seen the orange wish star.
Again, because you don't have a 5-star unless you have a weapon. And then the other pity system is that I think it's every 90 pulls, you will get up to 90 pulls, you will get a 5-star. And again, it can be a weapon or it can be a character.
I wonder how many... I wish there was some kind of a count thing. That
it doesn't have a count, but you can look at your history and count it yourself manually.
Ah,
6 per page. You can scroll through it and figure out how many pages you got.
That is what I'm kind of curious about, is how many pulls I've went. Maybe I should drop a little to get Venti, because that's... Or
yeah, 24 hours to get him, otherwise he's gone. Because I don't know... They haven't really specified if Venti's coming back or if Venti will go to the regular pull.
But it might be best not to, because they keep the banner rate, not the...
And I don't know if... I've heard people say that they're going to carry over... That
I heard too.
It's pity, but I've not. I don't want.
Because this is a huge difficulty with this.
There has been. This is probably the first game I've ever ran into that has so much misinformation spreading about it. There is gobs of misinformation and people shooting out YouTube. Because it's hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, when they hear a whisper, they're shooting out YouTube videos and people are copying and pasting it over here, and just misinformation is flying everywhere. Then you have the other problem that it's from a Chinese company, and a lot of translations and information coming out of China is very scarce and sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we have a front page that we can constantly look at to get all this information. There's a lot of people that are leaking actual test realm stuff they're doing. It's I don't believe it until I see an actual post. That's all I'll say at this point. Because there was one leak that said they were actually going to change the pity system to, like, every 10 pulls. And I'm like, I can kind of see that, because the way the game works, it technically encourages to get multiple copies of character. And that turned out to be incorrect. So I'm like, I'm done. I'm done looking at what these stupid videos people were releasing. But no, I like a game that has a pity system, no doubt. At the same time, I hate games that have weapons, because it always turns into a game where you're doubling up on your gacha because you have to get both characters and weapons, or you're trying to get characters and you get weapons. I had this experience with the Sword Online mobile game, I forget what it was called, and I dumped that game really quickly because I got sick of that whole aspect. Even if I got a character, I needed their weapon, because otherwise they're not strong, and there was that difficulty. So here's my thing. I like to see things from multiple perspectives, and you can see the actual quality they put into the characters. These aren't simple. Like I heard, and this is nothing against him. It's just using example. The anime guy, he said something to the effect of, and I'm totally paraphrasing here, so don't quote me here. Something to the effect that Arknights is better because they can get more pulls for your money, and the characters are easier to get, whatever. And I'm like thinking to myself, but compare the development cost of making an Arknight character and the development cost of making a Genshin Impact character. Do you realize the amount of time it would take to make a Genshin Impact character versus an Arknight character? You remember Arknights? It's the waifu tower defense game, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So you have these little 2D goofy sprites that are doing like the same GIF kind of animation, some spell effects going out. They might have, you know, she fires this often and it does this effect. Now compare that to, let's say, for a random example, Zayling. So she has an attack rate, she has animation for her character, she has a voice actress. Of course, they do an Arknights as well. You have the balancing they have to put into her character versus all these different elements that they have to go up against. You have her, you know, her actual specials that she has. She has two specials. All these things have to go into play for a single character. I just think that there's a lot more actual development that has to go in and balancing into a character and Genshin Impact than into Arknights.
I won't.
I'll make the same argument for Fate Grand Order. Grand Order, they're a little bit more animated and they have a lot more detail to the actual sprites, but same concept. They make an HP pull, an attack pull. It scales this much. They make a Noble Phantasm that's unique. Animate it. It's done.
I'm not going to disagree with you because I get the essence of your argument and you're making a valid point. However, don't forget there is the aspect of most of it is meshes at that point. Once you got the basically the framework built, all you're really doing at that point, yes, there is going to be an animation difference because some like Klee, even though I guess she's a caster, she's her animations are very different than Barbara. However, they're both.
Yeah, and I think they're sharing a little bit there because, like,
right,
Chi-Chi and Klee, I noticed, have similar animations themselves. They come almost like they kind of borrow their same kind of lolly,
right,
shape and size.
Mm-hmm. But don't misunderstand me because I'm not discounting, like, Mei Ling, her body structure, she has a bell tail.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So
like,
she's very different than,
there's a lot of detail they put
than the main character, the traveler. So they do have a very similar structure. So it's like they'll take traveler, copy paste, and then go from there, change everything about traveler, and then start to go ahead and start working with the actual animations. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not downplaying how much there is, because then you have to start play testing, make sure there's no clipping and all that crazy stuff. So right. So don't misunderstand. I'm not downplaying the amount of work that's going into it, but there is still a starting point that once they have the actual thing built, it's just a matter of doing the artwork after that point.
Because I know there's a lot of borrowed animations. Like, I know, like, their poses in the menus for the weapons sometimes will be a little bit similar. But I do know that some of them, like Mona, she has a lot of unique animations herself. Her running animation is definitely unique because she goes underground as Liquid. And, yeah, I know that with... I was trying to think of another example. They do have like some kind of similarities there, but they definitely do have a lot of uniqueness to them. And I do like that attention and detail they have with some of the characters, especially with like Zeling with her little bells.
Yeah, the bell guy. I got
Mona has kind of a similar thing, but it almost makes like a chiming noise. But my whole point is that they seem like they put a lot more effort into each individual. So I'm giving MiHoYo some credit here. I put my money into it because I was already kind of invested into it. And for me, early gacha game moments, if I feel like I'm spending a lot of time in a week span, I almost have that kind of console gamer mentality of like, oh, well, it's almost like they finally said, well, here's your bill. You still have to pay us for the game that you just took out of the store. And I go, oh, sorry, here's the money for the game that I bought that I didn't pay for yet. I do feel like I did want to give them money for something that I was thoroughly enjoying, especially I've been enjoying it for, 3 weeks now. At the same time, I even put this in a feedback to them because they request feedback regularly, and I put in a feedback to them like, I felt like I wanted to give you guys money, so my paying into the gacha was almost like me wanting to give you guys money for the effort you put into this. But at the same time, I almost felt like I didn't get the, we appreciate you, contributing feedback back from them, because I didn't get any characters back. And I'm watching tons of streams of people who are like rolling and getting, I can't get Chi-Chi. I swear I've tried so many times to get Chi-Chi. They will not give me Chi-Chi, and she's literally going to complete my group. It did feel like a little bit downing that I've literally only gotten 2 5-star characters in that full beginner package that I went through. So it felt a little bad, and people will get a lot more, probably a lot more luck than I will. But the point, though, also is that the game is literally the most free-to-play friendly game I've probably ever seen. Because I've seen several people, and they only end up, going into it just because, it's a streamer and somebody throws, donations at them and they decide to actually put money into it. But I've seen these people playing through it free-to-play, and the characters you get starting out, they function. Like, every character in this game, it's artifact-based. Like, there's artifacts, which is pretty much your armor. There's artifacts that you put on the characters that is where all of your stats are. yeah, each character has their own, like, kits based on their abilities, but if you have certain elements and you throw artifacts at those characters, they will be top damage. There's no OP character, literally, even though I really want a Chi-Chi.
And that goes back to what I had been saying, I don't know when I said it, it was a long, long time ago, and one of my arguments that I had gotten frustrated, I want to say it was Valkyrie Crusade I was playing, it was some stupid card game-based game, and I had gotten frustrated with it, because I had put a bit of money into it, and I had got frustrated because they had sold from one company to another company, and they lost track of what it was that they were doing. And my argument was, and it will still be, I think I had said this in one of our gaming discussions, is one of the things that a lot of these mobile companies seem to forget. I don't know where they forget it along the way. It's like Crossing Void. Why did I so happily give them money? Because a lot of these companies forget the idea that you're playing a game to have fun. And when you play a game to have fun, one of the tricks to keeping that some of them seem to forget is like stamina. Stamina, you should not be doing things based on stamina. You want to keep your customer involved in that game as long as possible, having fun. If they do not have fun, they will shut it off. If you keep them involved in your game, using stamina is a bad system, mostly because what it does is it makes me turn on the game, do my stamina, and move off. You want to keep them playing. That's like the whole arcade system. You go into an arcade, the arcade is designed to keep you involved in that. Casinos know this system. They specifically design the casino so that you will get lost. It is literally in their design framework. They want you to be in there as long as possible. Now, I know that sounds bad, but this is my point, is the mobile games, what they're doing is they're using the gacha system as a way to cause an endorphin kick, I guess, for whatever lack of reason. It causes the same trigger as the casino system, where they're borrowing
and
one
like
system
buttons.
And like buttons.
And like
they're borrowing one system.
Dopamine.
Yeah. They're borrowing from one system, but they're not remembering the rest of the whole what is a video game thing. And the rest of the video game thing is that video games are designed to be, in a way, they're toys. And that's the weird thing about it. And why do you play with a toy? You play with a toy because it's fun. It's something that gets you away from whatever it is that you don't want to deal with. So you go into this and you play your game and forget about the world for a little while. And that's one of the things that mobile games seem to forget along the way. They're absolutely designed to suck money from you. And they forget about the boundaries. Side tangent, I know. Big old long side tangent. My main point is that the cool thing about this game is that it seems to have at least slightly remembered what a video game is. I don't mind paying money into a video game that remembers what a video game is.
And that's my whole point, is like, even though, and I think the only real issue that most, and I think it's the reason why it made back its money literally in the first, I don't know if it's the first week or the first 2 weeks, but literally within the first few weeks, a couple weeks, they paid off their development costs. And I think that was mainly because of the hype that was surrounding it and streaming content creators. Literally, unless you've seen somebody else pulling one of those characters, there would be no desire for you to have to rush after that character. It wasn't until, you know, somebody sees, oh my gosh, Chi-Chi is so awesome, I want Chi-Chi, they go and they hit the banner. Because they give, and this is a big question that we had early on, was like, how can this be like a PS4 game? How can this be a console game? Because console games don't have, you know, waifu gacha games, they have technically Call of Duty with, you know, and NBA and all those kind of games with their gacha systems, but not like a actual, you know, waifu wars gacha game. And it was funny because the big question was like, so are you going to get stuck in progress because you don't have this character from the banner? No, they give you every element. Literally, they give you all the elements with your main cast that you get for free. So you don't need any of the gacha characters. They're just there and saying, hey, it. So a lot of people say, is it pay to win? It's, I would say that it's pay to progress faster, but you have to understand that the game is never going to end. It's never going to have a progress to end. It's going to be something that content's coming out over time. I think they've talked about like 5 or 7 different chapters, and we've literally only gotten like 2 zones. And it's going to keep going. There's going to be more zones and more zones and more zones. The map's going to get huger and huger, which the map currently is pretty dang freaking huge. What would you say in comparison with Breath of the Wild? I think it's as big as Breath of the Wild.
No. I would say...
Definitely a lot more full of stuff than Breath of the Wild. That's for dang sure. Yeah.
I would say... I almost want to say a third of the size.
No.
I mean, you
at least
there
2/3.
Consider how long, if you had started running, how long it would take to get somewhere in Breath of the Wild.
I think a test is needed.
I would almost guarantee it, because I promise you, I was running around that place, and it does feel, when you look at the map, it looks massive.
I think the reason why Genshin Impact feels bigger is because it's not just like big, long, open areas.
Yeah.
It's just like traversing and all this crap that's in it that's constantly stopping you because you want to open this or do this, which Breath of the Wild technically had, but it definitely wasn't as full of stuff. I mean,
I could
agree
with you.
Villages in this game.
I could agree with you on that, but I would venture a guess, maybe a third at best. It's not because I thought about that a few times. It is big. I'm not going to deny how big it is. And when they start adding the extra maps, yeah, it'll probably dwarf Breath of the Wild very quickly. But like I said, and I think a third of the size of Breath of the Wild is even giving it a lot of credit. I don't think it's as big as Breath of the Wild at all.
Somebody's going to have a comparison out there.
You know it.
But no, as much as the aspect of having the free-to-play characters is there that prevents you from having to roll the gacha, I, at the same time, like I said, I do think that once you finally decide that you do want to put that money in there, I just say go into it with no expectations whatsoever. Only do it if you want to support the game and you just want to see if you can get some characters out of it. Shoot for the pity system if you do want to get anything, but I think their rates really do suck. They do need to, I think it's the weird thing is that it's not that I don't think that the rates should be extremely high, just because you technically, for most people, once you get the character, you're fine. You can make them very much stronger if you do get multiple copies, because they have these constellations that unlock, but you technically can play the character just fine without him.
It's funny because I got Fischl with, I want to say, I got maybe 2 other 4 stars. Yeah, I got Barbara. Noelle was a freebie, so maybe I'm thinking of Noelle. And then I got Fischl, which... It was funny because Andrew had showed me Fischl a day or two before.
She became my main really quickly.
Yeah, and I was like, I was so excited. I really, really kind of wanted to get Fischl. And so I randomly get her. And then randomly I got 3 copies of her at random. It just kept getting them. And it's like, okay, I love Fischl and all, but come on, let me have some other characters too.
Yeah, my official's like already, I think, 4 constellations or 5, maybe 5. She went up pretty quick. No, I was going to ask you to kind of wrap things up, because we've literally spent way too much time on this already. Favorite characters?
Well, of the ones that I have, or the ones that... Because I do like Venti. I think Venti's story, as far as I've gotten in the game, because I haven't had a lot of time to play it. But yeah, Venti's story is really cool. That was quite a cool little surprise twist. I did like him. I do love Fischl as far as waifu material. She is absolutely phenomenal. I love
her.
She's
a chuny.
She is so chuny, and I just love her when she's jumping.
And that's that other thing. It's like her animations when she's shooting. It is that's her flair, and that's again, she shoots a little bit similar to Amber, but she has all this extra flair she puts into her. She like flicks her hair and stuff. Like I was showing Chris, is like when I was fighting something, I would like purposely take a little bit longer before I hit the next shot, just so that she has this extra little flair in her little step. Like she's full of herself. It's fantastic.
Now, as far as just because I will use Mei Ling just running around because I do like her idol. I absolutely just adore her little ringing cat bell as she's running around town and everything like that. So I do like Mei Ling as well. Or Zai Ling.
Zai Ling, yeah. Yeah, I started off, I was really heavy on Fischl. And I still use Fischl's still one of my main ones. And I absolutely love her. She's just like a... She's like a machine gun on enemies. Surprisingly, and I never realized until a bit later, Beidou is so awesome. And she's like supposed to be like a pirate that like is a good pirate kind of character, like a big sis kind of character. And I absolutely love her kind of personality she has. And she just destroys things. She has like a full counter kind of thing where she goes into block mode and things hit her, and then she does like a return back on them, which is just amazing. And then she also has this thing where she powers up and then everybody else can, when they attack, they do chain lightning effects, which is way OP. Mona, love her to death. She's easily probably the most like waifu character in the game so far for me. I wanted Jane really badly, but because Saber kind of character, but at some point I just said, well, screw you, Jane, you're not coming home. I don't care about you no more. I just gave up and I don't like her no more. Yeah, sadly. Yeah, I like Zai Ling as well. She's just, and that's funny because I like I said before, you can technically build up any character, but I don't like Amber's kit, but she's just so much fun to play every now and then just because she sounds so fun, happy whenever she's running.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds like a little happy dog whenever she's running, like she's thing. It's like she's so cute.
Did you hear about the Lisa climbing mountains thing? That is too Lisa funny. When I first heard about that, I
heard about Jane's the best for climbing mountains or something like that.
Not as far as it's just her sounds.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lisa's very. Apparently, there's a video out there of her playing her own character and voicing her own lines. The Japanese voice actress. I need to check that out. Yeah, she was one of the seiyus that was doing playthroughs of the game with her own character. That'd be pretty funny to watch. Any other ones I'm thinking of? Niwing, I really do want her to work because she looks really awesome. I love her design, but I haven't really gotten her build right to enjoy her at all. So I give up on her at some point. I think that's all the ones that I really play. And that gets me to like my last point is the game really does. I'm worried about the game in-game, not really in-game, but the point that I'm at right now, the game has gotten really frustrating. And this is the worst part of this entire discussion, is it right now it's kind of gotten frustrating because there's two aspects that I'm really concerned about. One is the game gets incredibly hard. It gets incredibly cheap. Like, literally everything I'm fighting at this point, not really everything, but I would say, like, half of the difficult stuff that I run into right now is not fun. It's stun locks, it's wizards sticking in bubbles or freezing you, it's ice frost blowtorch guy that just freezes you to death constantly. Everything is stun locking me to death. You have to have specific elements to destroy certain things, and if you don't have that element built up, you have to go back and hope that you can build up another character with the limit time that they or the time locked content and difficulty in getting experience and money it is right now. Everything right now takes way too much time to build up experience points and money. I'm running into that drought of of resources, and the content itself is not friendly to my team anymore, whereas it worked before, and I could get around certain enemies. I can't anymore, and now I'm forced to build up other characters, and the resources for them is
in my game.
Just not available. No, not even in your game. I can't get experience books. I can't get Mora without just running around the entire world and hope that I open that one respawn box that has one crappy experience book that will raise a character's level by 1%. I'm at that point. And I think I'm hoping it will remedy when the new content comes out. But right now, it's like, it's too difficult to raise up characters, and the content's too difficult for the... I have an Electro Water build right now. That was my focus early on. And I had Zealing on the side, but it's at the point now where I need ice, I need fire, I need other types of element builds. And then you have the Abyss, which really requires you to have two parties, and that's eight characters that it's already difficult to build two. and the resin limits are, which is their energy AP energy system that's limited. It's terrible. I hate it. And that's the mobile game aspect stuff that they brought over along with the gacha that I just don't think works well on consoles. So yeah, we have news. We literally have like halfway through the podcast. We have to get to the news. The news that should be important to you because it's important to us that it's important to you. Let's dive into it. You ready?
Let's do it.
We have the announcement.
By the way, Genshin Impact
has Neon Genesis Evangelion TV and the original movie Blu-ray home video license rights. It's finally been announced. I went to Chris. Who did you say that you thought it was?
Who?
I asked you at some point, like, who do you... Neon Genesis Evangelion has been licensed for home video release, and I asked you who you thought was the person that was going to release it.
Funimation.
You thought it was Funimation?
Because, mostly because there's...
Because they have... That was the thing, because they had the ties with the new movies, but at the same time, they kind of burned a lot of bridges with that last one, so I wasn't really sure if they went to them and said, hey, we want to get the TV series too. It's like, yeah, that whole fiasco with the movie, not gonna happen. No, G-Kids got it, which, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised. I guess it's me not really... I guess I just don't acknowledge G-Kids as being as big as it is, I guess. Unless that they just have really good connections with a lot of these companies. But yeah, I was assuming that either... Unless G-Kids has some kind of connection with Netflix.
G-Kids has been around for forever. So I would... Maybe it'll be interesting to do a deep dive into... kind of more out of G-Kids, because like I said, they've been around for forever. 2008 seems like they've been around a long... they must have been somebody who kind of took over from somebody else.
I know they had a lot of tie-ins with the Ghibli films.
Yeah,
and that's what I've always known them as. Because my biggest concern right now is I think that the quality in all the movies that I've gotten... Well, I don't think I've gotten anything G-Kids. I think all the ones that I've gotten released from were from Disney. Because I'm curious about the quality of their Blu-ray. I mean, it's granted it's a, you know, a re-release on Blu... It was, you know, up to Blu-ray quality, but... I don't know. I guess it's me just hoping the quality of the actual release is going to be good, and that they do a really awesome release for it. It's definitely something that deserves a nice quality prima edition or something like that. I don't know, I'm just happy that it's getting... Somebody got it. And it wasn't Funimation. It's so bad. Somebody got it and it wasn't Funimation. I'm happy. I don't know. If anybody has a lot of experience with G-Kid quality, let us know. I'm just not sure exactly if there's any kind of issues with their overall visual quality. But no, that's awesome. They got the TV series Death and the End of Evangelion films. They have plans to release the Blu-ray and digital download next year. So sometime 2021, they will be doing a actual release of it. So pretty cool. Pretty exciting. It's good stuff. Good on them. Congratulations, you kids, on basically making a fortune. Hopefully, unless you had to pay a fortune in order to get this, and you're going to be fighting to get your money back. Yeah. I think I made a joke to Chris that ADV Films came back just to do a release on Blu-ray. Some guy just randomly popped up his desk again and said, oh, we're back. I've got to do a Blu-ray release of this. We have the rights to it. No. There you go. Interesting stuff. Moving on. Another news at this point is going to be in it. It is all exciting, as exciting as that. So, just giving you a forewarning. We have a new season confirmed for Science Fell in Love, so I tried to prove it. So, look forward to that. I don't think we have any additional information besides an image they released with it. So, good on them. Fans of that series can definitely be looking forward to that. We never got back to that one, but it had a kind of a cute start. So,
I finished it.
You did?
Yeah.
There you go. You excited?
Kind of.
Okay. There you go. Kind of. Square Enix has announced that they will be doing a new PS4 title. Love Live School Festival After School Activity YY Home Meeting. This is weird. I think that was actually... Is that the name of this game? I thought that was going to be like a festival name that they announced it in. No, that is actually the name. They're going to be making the mobile smartphone game in a console version of it. So, I mean, that's what I'm getting from the video that I've seen of it. It just kind of looks like the Love Live rhythm game that everybody knows and loves is now going to be in a format for PS4. So,
got a spoiler there. We know what the new group is going to be called. It's Saint Snow.
No, Saint Snow's been around.
Ah. Mm-hmm. I know Aquarius, but I don't remember doing a Saint Snow. Are we on season 4?
No, Saint Snow was one of the other groups that they were with. Saint the Snow. Remember those two girls?
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Okay, gotcha. So we didn't get a spoiler on this year's or this season.
I literally think we talked about it in the preview.
Probably. Don't worry about me. No, I have the memory of a slug.
I don't think that we had Love Live in our preview when we did the preview. It wasn't in. I don't think it was on any chart when we did it. So I was kind of surprised to see it pop up on Funimation. Yeah, our memory sucks. But yeah, that's exciting for Love Live fans. I'd never really cared much for... I mean, I did like the covers they did, but I never really stuck with it, so... It is what it is, so... That's exciting. And that's technically the thing that I always kind of grunt at whenever I see a mobile game, rhythm game, is like, I just want this on my computer, on my console so I can actually press buttons. I just hate doing rhythm games on touch. It just doesn't work for me. I need feedback. I need that feedback. It kicks my finger back when I lift it up. I need that. I don't need to just feel my finger hitting a glass. So, yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong. It doesn't, it's not responsive. Not. It is responsive in a lot of cases. It's just, it doesn't work for me. It's like playing Day Day Live, the action-y aspect of that, it just does not work for me.
Yeah. Extremely difficult. Well, I mean, that was just like when we did the Genshin Impact on it. It's like, yeah, even with Genshin Impact, it's like... The difficulty is not feeling that travel and where your finger's at when you're watching the action. It's like, is my finger in the same area where the D-pad technically is? Or did I get out of that zone? And then you realize your character's not moving anymore, and then... Yeah, not having that reset point that you can bring your thumb to, you have to literally let go. That kind of stuff just bugs the fire out of me. So, yeah, and like Chris alluded to, they have the game is going to be a rhythm game based on the Love Live franchise, including Muse, Aquarius, and Saint Snow. So, and they'll probably put the new girls in there as DLC. So, look forward to that.
I'm sure Logan and them are all over that.
Yeah, probably. Osana Najima osana na najimi ga zettai ni makanai love coma light novel to get a TV anime adaptation in 2021. This one is a romantic comedy where my childhood friend absolutely will not lose. They took my damn idea for my novel. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this one before, but yeah, that title just sells me. Because as you all know, Andrew is usually a strong supporter of the childhood friend character archetype that always loses every dang time. Yeah. Asamake, which is the short title of it, so I don't have to say all that again, is a teen romantic comedy centered around Suharu Maru, an average 17-year-old high school boy who has never had a girlfriend, and the heroine battle between his beautiful first crush, Shirokusa Kachi, and his childhood friend, Kuroha Shida. So, the core of that. I'm guessing this is childhood friend, and this is going to be the first crush. Definitely looks like their character visuals, so I'm just going to guess that. Yeah. And it's funny, because I could totally... I'm going to go into this anime fully expecting that the childhood friend still loses. Like, that's the title to trick you into believing that there is a chance this time that they will win, but they won't win in the end, because...
The childhood friend dies from Chuck-kun?
That could be it, too. She doesn't win because he just becomes, like, what's the term? Sullivan after that point?
He's, yeah.
Just kind of becomes a monk. And so she wins in the end because he never loves another person ever again. Wow, Chris, you went dark there. You don't usually typically do that. I usually take it that direction. Moving forward, we have some sad news. Well, not sad news, but it's kind of
concerning.
Concerning. There you go. Thank you, Chris. Konami Suzuki has announced on Twitter that she is going on hiatus beginning December due to surgery on her vocal cord nodules.
Nodules.
Is it nodules or noodles?
She doesn't have noodles.
She doesn't have noodles. Hopefully she doesn't have noodles in her throat. I mean, I thought nodules as well, but for some reason I guess trying to Japanese-ize it and pronunciation. I don't know. Pronunciation. Help me, Google. Because I can't smell either,
apparently. Nodules. See? I'm
nodules.
Right.
Nodules. Oh, look at the mouth even moves on the thing. Practice.
Nodules.
Okay, thank you. Her nodules. So, yeah. She said that she first came down to it, came down with it back 4 years ago. But she has finally decided that she's going to go to get it taken care of. So apparently she's planning on returning back to activity at the end of January. So definitely wish her the best and hope she has a very quick recovery because she's done a lot of fantastic stuff that we definitely do love. So
I hope they don't. It doesn't mess up her voice too much.
Yeah.
She has a valuable voice and... needs to keep that going as long as possible.
Yep. So definitely, hope that goes well with her. So Aniplex USA had a couple announcements for Blu-ray releases. The first one is the Blu-ray reset release for Your Lie in April, which they plan to release on December 22nd. The set will have both English and Japanese audio with subtitles for English and Spanish. It will include 13 illustration cards and bonus content, including audio commentary by the English cast and director, and English bloopers, English trailer, and textless opening and endings. They don't try anymore, do they? I think we talked about this in the last discussion, but I really do, really do appreciate these companies like Nozomi Entertainment and Right Stuff is doing it currently with a lot of their Kickstarters that they're doing. Anime Ego is doing it a lot as well, is they don't seem to want to care about getting actual Japanese content put onto their extras anymore. And that's really sad that, I mean, nothing against the dub people, the people that did the dub for this. I'm perfectly fine with this having English cast director interviews and stuff, but I would rather see the content of the original creators put on there. Like, you know, I don't know, the script writers, the director of the actual animation that did the actual anime. Why can't they do this stuff anymore? I mean, this used to be a common thing on a lot of releases, and it just doesn't seem to be existing anymore, which is kind of sad. I realize this is kind of feeling like it's taking it out on this group, which I don't intend it. It's just a kind of reminder, like, when I first read, you know, commentary, audio commentary, and I'm like, I'm getting excited, and then I see English cast and directors, and it's like, why not the Japanese ones? Why can't you have that as well? It kind of sucks for me, I guess.
Because they don't want to take the time to translate any of it. And that's what it really comes down to. As much as I hate to say it, that is spending more time and money.
Yeah. And they know people that are going to want it is going to buy it anyways. They're not going to not buy it because it doesn't have that Japanese commentating and interviews and stuff as well. I guess that's kind of the one thing that I've been really enjoying about some of the projects that Crunchyroll gets involved with. Like with Dr. Stone, they had a lot of extra streams that were put up on Crunchyroll for, like, Dr. Stone's development and stuff like that, which was really cool. I like seeing the insight into the actual process of what they're making and the decisions they make and all that kind of stuff that really tell the tale of its creation and adaptation. So sad, but oh well. Sorry. Random tangents. But yeah, it's good news for people, especially people that are into the actual dub. So it works out. The other announcement that they had was Lord L. Mulway's Case Files, Rel Zeppelin, something else, XR something. It's Grace Notes. That's what the other part of it was, Grace Notes. Lord L. Mulway, Case Files, Rel Zeppelin, Grace Notes. That Blu-ray release will be set for December 15th. It's going to include the OP and ED, text list, the PV collections, web previews, a special booklet, and a package with a cover art by Jun Nakai. So look for that as well. I don't know. I'll probably end up getting it. I mean, I have to continue to complete my Fate series collection, but yeah. It wasn't one of my... I did appreciate a lot more than most people. A lot more. But there was... I had issues with the fact that they didn't do enough with Gray, and I was hoping they would get into Gray. But it was still a great series in the end, so... And I just think that's it. Now, this one right here, compared to the Your Line April, is bare bones as possible. This is the most bare bone release you can get by Aniplex. It's literally box sleeve to put the jewel case into and then a booklet. Come on, Aniplex. You could do better than that. At least put an English cast director commentary and bloopers. Oh, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Come on. Tellier Thaiza is getting a sequel that we've already known about. We have a release date for it now in the West. Tellier Thaiza's 2 Lost Legend and Secret Fairy is launching in the West on January 26th. So that's exciting. Excited for more Thaiza?
Need to finish it up.
I'm talking about Ryza, by the way. I'm just continuing my joke about that. Tell your Ryza. Yeah, I need to get back to that one. That's bought it. It disappeared. I think I seen it in Chris's room at some point.
It's still in my room.
Yeah. I think it was on the ground at some point. I had to pick it up. That was one of the games on the ground. I picked it up. Gotta be careful around Chris. But yeah. European release is January 29th. I'm sorry. Should put that in there as well. For our European listeners. All 2 of you. No, I'm joking. See, Evangelion Final Film 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time has a new Japanese theatrical release date, which now is January 23rd. So, after a shoot a good 6 month delay. We're finally getting a new date for it, so hopefully things currently inflicting the world will go away so they can actually have that release done so that we can get the release over here.
Does that mean that we actually called it?
What?
Or did we say 2030? Almost want to go back and see what we
I wonder what we originally planned that was going to be.
Because you remember we were doing a whole bunch of guesstimating at the rate he was going when we were going to actually see the final episode.
I think it's earlier than what we expected, but yeah.
We were getting kind of exaggerated, but at the same time, I want to say we were saying 2021.
There's still a chance it could be like that long. Of course, I think we were joking about when we'd actually see it here. Yeah. That could still happen 2023, depending on if Funimation does or not screws up the dub. We'll see. We'll see, though.
That's if Funimation gets it.
They have another teaser, but I don't know if I want to watch anything teaser related anymore. Just waiting at this point. Toho's Kimi wa Kanata, or You Are Beyond, has a new trailer and is set to open on November 27th in Japan. I'm not sure if we've talked about this one. I think we did briefly, because I think we joked about the name being pretty close to another particular show or movie. Your name? The adolescent fantasy film is set in Tokyo, Ikebukuro's district, and centers on two childhood friends named Mio and Arara. Mio has feelings for Arara and always thinks about him, but has never been able to tell him how she feels. One day, they get into an argument over something trivial, and sometime afterwards, Mio decides to make up with him. As she heads to Arara, while being drenched in the rain, she gets into a traffic accident. When Mio regains consciousness, she finds herself in a new world, an unfamiliar world. I told you, childhood friends never work. It never works out. Even in a film where there's literally two characters and they're supposed to fall in love, one gets hit by a car. It's not allowed. In anime law, the law of the universe of anime, never happen.
You do realize that they go through an entire class in college, and in that class in college, they're going through all the slides.
They're talking about, like, you know, positioning of perspective, and they're going through, like, you know, visual effects, and then just one slide that says childhood friends never work, and they switch to the next line.
Well, there's also the little footnote marker, and then down at the bottom it says reference Andrew Otaku Spirit, mm-hmm. so that you always know that you're the problem.
The next slide is literally like ways that you can get childhood friend out of the picture, and one's like Truck-kun. Next one is tragic girlfriend illness. That illness that is not even real and is not even described or named. It just happens and they die. Yeah, that one. Anyways, it looks good. The trailer looks good, so definitely look up that one and see if it's on Toho's official website. So I guess if you can look that up, you can find the trailer for it. Or just Google search it, YouTube search it. Kimi wa Kanata, or You Are Beyond. Moving on, we have Yen Press licenses announcements. They have picked up Durarara SH Novels, Hana-chan and the Shape of the World manga. Please put them on Takamine-san manga. Another World with My Smartphone manga. Yokohama Station SF novel. Sex Education 120% manga. Can't Stop Cursing You manga. Love of Kill manga. Hazard A Skill, the guild member with a worthless skill, is actually a legendary assassin novel. Bufuri, I didn't want to get hurt, so I maxed out my defense novel and manga. So there's only one that I want to point out, and it's please put them on Takamine-san. Mm-hmm. The synopsis is, the student council president, Takamine, is a beauty beyond compare, and she would normally never associate with a friendless, nobody like Koshi Shirota. After seeing her undressed, however, he's forced to become her walking closet. As she changes underwear throughout the day, but Takamine's stripping isn't merely to tease. It's the key to unleashing her time-bending powers.
Works for me.
What? What? So she's randomly stripping, and it's somehow there's a reason behind it. It's not just because it's a lewd manga. She actually has powers. I like how that kind of opens up as she's just an idiot taking off her clothes all the time, and he's really upset by it, wanting to dress her up. And by the way, she has powers. So it's actually for a reason. Don't worry. This is not just some smutty garbage manga. You happened that Bofuri got a license? You want to check that one out?
Yes. But it's
that wasn't originally a light novel, though, right?
The light novel thing, as much as it's too much time to read.
Yeah.
I have a hard time doing the manga. As much as I want to. I was glad that I got through the Vampire Kids, but that was even hard to do.
SH novels, is that just a new... It says it's sequel. Is that the same writer? Yes, same writer. The SH novel is a sequel to the urban fantasy series Yahiro has come to Tokyo in hopes of starting a new life and maybe sees the headless rider. But the famous Dararan has not been seen in half a year, and neither has anyone who has gone to find her. So it's not much goodbye. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Good pickups there. Yen Press. J Novel has some titles to back up as well. They have picked up for light novel releases in 2020. Our crappy social game club is gonna make the most epic game. Girls Kingdom, Dungeon Busters, The Great Cleric, White Collar Survival in Another World, The Magician Who Rose from Failure, Tales of War and Magic. Some long titles. So the winner of longest title for this podcast is Hazure Skill. The guild member with a worthless skill is actually a legendary assassin. what is with these night novels about this guy has the most worthless skill but is actually super powerful? That's like a trope that I think is getting a little bit heavy on it. That one, Roland is a world's greatest assassin. He's a man who's taken a worthless skill and made it so powerful that he has managed to kill the greatest demon lord has ever lived. He could live out the rest of his days as a wealthy and famous man, but instead chooses an exceedingly normal life working as at an adventurer's guild. For someone as exceptional as Roland, aiming for a normal life won't come easy. However, find out next time in the next synopsis of Yen Press Synopsises. Yeah. Next bit. Netflix has announced that they will be streaming Godzilla Singular Point anime globally in 2021. This is the anime that is being done by Bones and Orange in a collaboration to combine both CG and hand-drawn animation. Atsushi Takahashi will be doing the directing for it, who has done Blue Exorcist movies, the Doraemon movies, and I think that's about it. Ride Back as well. I haven't checked out any of those, but yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure it's only a matter of before somebody figures out how to help the computer figure out the hand-drawn thing.
I don't know. It seems like every now and then somebody, they blend well every now and then. Like every now and then they just somehow manage to pull it off. But there's a certain companies that I don't think Orange has ever done anything that has ever impressed me. Do you remember if Orange has ever done anything that's impressed us? Oh, that wasn't done by Orange. Orange was not, the Orange anime was not done by Orange.
Type in studio.
Let's see. I mean, Beastars and Land of Lustrous are both amazing as CGI anime, but they are not blending 2D animation. So I cannot say that those two are good examples. That's pretty much all they've really done. Because they weren't the ones that did Bubunki Brunki. Which one was that one? Sends again. Yeah, Sends Again. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not gonna throw judgment yet. I know that Bones does an incredible job in a lot of stuff they do, so hopefully whatever comes out of their works is not going to be, especially after saying something, they're trying to combine both of them properly, then I'll hope that they do that properly. I'll hold them to their word. By the way, the other fully CGI anime of Godzilla that's on Netflix already is pretty good. It's a fun little action flick, so definitely check that out. I've watched all of those movies. I thought the last movie was probably the weakest of all of it. It's kind of a fizzle ending, but the rest of it was really good. So, especially, I think the second one was especially edge your seat kind of action. So, exciting news for Chris. What is it, Chris? What do we have here? My next life is a villainous. All routes lead to doom. Game has been confirmed.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, there's gonna be more info on October 20th of 2020.
Yeah, that was an announcement for an announcement,
which is literally in 3 days. 2 days if you're listening to this upon release.
Yeah, I did this outline like 3 weeks ago.
like 4 weeks ago. No, it was literally like the week after we did our last discussion. Well, he's putting together an outline. I'm like, Chris, what are you doing? He's like, I didn't see anything else on here, so I'm putting together a discussion. I'm like, yeah, we did a discussion last week. We're doing a gaming podcast, so put the pin down, damn it. And we did a gaming podcast, so. And then we literally just did a gaming podcast again this episode, because half this episode was that. But hey, we had a break because we had tons of reviews that you guys got in a preview. So I don't want to hear any complaining that there's too much gaming stuff in here. Yeah, we still have the second season announced for 2021, but yeah, it's good to see that the game based off of visual novel is becoming a visual novel. Because it wasn't originally a visual novel, it was a light novel. So it's a light novel about a visual novel, character being stuck in a visual novel, was adapted into an anime, and now is getting a visual novel, so...
Yeah, it seemed like it would be. I mean, I love the characters, and I thought the idea of actually playing that would be kind of fun and cute. So,
no, this
I don't
is,
have
this
a
is,
lot of hope
an,
for.
Oh, this isn't about the light novel or the game. It's a Tomy game centering around Katarina's encounter with pirates.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So it's not going to be the actual story. That's a bummer. I guess that makes sense. They probably have to do some kind of original content. Otherwise, that'd be very difficult to actually produce. I don't know. They could have. They still could have done it. Actually have a game that is where you can actually run into the doom points. That'd be fun. Original story takes place as Katarina is moving beyond the in-story game's final graduation event and evading all the Doom flags. She faces a new Doom flag related to a new meeting and encounter with a pirate. Does it say platforms they're going for?
No, I guess I didn't see that.
Hmm. That is very odd. There's like literally no mention of platforms. We're in, like, super seriously early stages of this, then, if we don't even have platforms announced.
It's probably the announcement of the announcement, and when we get the actual announcement, we'll probably see all that.
So, yeah, in a few weeks when we do our next discussion, we'll probably mention what it is. So, there you go. Look forward to that if you're a fan of that series. Definitely looking forward to the second season of it. See here, the game, ReZero Starting Life in Another World, The Prophecy of the Thrones, has gotten a release date, which is in the West on January 29th of 2021. This, of course, will be releasing on Switch, PS4, and Steam. And of course, European release will be February 5th of 2021. So, exciting stuff there.
Yeah, it was something that I thought that you would like. I know you love your ReZero stuff.
Well, we knew a game was coming. We just didn't know when it was releasing.
A Puka?
You don't know Puka?
I'm guessing not.
Yeah, Puka. And Solum. Apparently got a premiere date for That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime Season 2, which apparently is going to be January 5th.
This is probably what I was thinking of when we were talking the other day. I had mentioned that there was Slimes and Slime Chronicles is the spinoff. Spinoff. Slime Diaries.
Yeah, I remember the Slime Diaries thing. But the second season will have two cores, so that's been confirmed already. So, good stuff there. It's going to be on both Crunchyroll and Funimation. So they're still playing decently nice, apparently. We mentioned in our preview, but yes, our reviews of these shows, but yes, Rent-A-Girlfriend and Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out both got confirmations for a second season. We also got Omuzume Pre-Derby, apparently, that we talked about a while back, is still getting a second season, so that's exciting as well. I think we also mentioned that in our review of the chibi short that we had last season as well, but yeah, look forward to that new season next year. Log Horizon second season apparently finally got a confirmation premiere date, which is January 13th, so...
Third season.
So look forward to that on January 13th. So there'll be a winter 2021 show. We'll see. We shall see. Because, yeah, this was supposed to be here in October, so it got delayed as well. I'll hopefully get back to that one. I don't know. I got pretty far into it.
It's worth it. I want to catch up, too. So don't leave me behind on that one.
I thought you finished it.
I don't think so. I got farther than you, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Fruits Basket, as well, we mentioned before, is getting a final season. It's been confirmed as a final season in 2021, so look forward to that as well. I'm kind of feeling it, kind of waiting for that. My mind's kind of like, yeah, this needs to come to a conclusion. I'm thoroughly wanting a conclusion at this point. Yeah. Pompo the Cinephile anime film has been delayed to spring 2021. I think we talked about this one a couple of times. But yeah, kind of the norm right now is continued delays. This one doesn't specifically say COVID, though, right?
No.
This says due to various circumstances. So hopefully nothing dire. We'll see, though. Yeah, I think
somebody
we talked
came
about this
in and stole all their shoes.
Somebody ran off with the master files.
No, the shoes. They stole the shoes.
Files.
Dang it!
The master files are gone.
You don't understand. You don't understand the importance of shoes.
What's the shoes thing?
I don't know.
Inside
just,
joke.
Just seemed random. I didn't want to say anything mean. Seeing as how I've already been dark this episode.
Very. Somebody died, Andrew. Obviously, somebody died. Strangled by the film. Yeah, for those who don't remember, Pompo the Cinephile depicts the craft of movie making and revolves around Joel Davidovici. Pompo Pomponet, a talent movie producer who looks like a girl. Operating out of the movie capital Nyalywood, Pompo has been shooting one B-grade entertainment flick after another that anyone would enjoy. One day, Pompo's movie buff assistant, Gene, spots a new script written by Pompo and is moved by its exquisite story. In a fit of passion, he proclaims, "I want to see this as a finished work in theaters as soon as possible." However, Pompo tells him, "So you shoot the film." Thus, Gene takes on his first directing gig. Meanwhile, Natalie, an ordinary girl who just arrives in the town with the movie actress dreams, has been discovered by Pumple.
Oh, okay.
What was the okay part. Oh yeah, that's the girl.
I was all over the place with what was going on here, and now I think I got it. I got it.
Okay.
Had me really messed up for a second.
Sorry. I didn't write the synopsis. Let's see here. Shadow House manga is getting an anime adaptation. Words. The manga's story is set in the Western-style mansion on a cliff and centers the aristocratic faceless shadow family. They live together with lifelike dolls attendants who serve as their faces. The story focuses on the daily lives of the house's inhabitants and gradually reveals its mysteries. So, interesting choice. I don't think I've heard anything about this series, so... Hopefully it turns into something solid. Good art style, too. Blade of Immortal, the 2019 anime adaptation of Blade of Immortal, has apparently been license saved by Sentai Filmworks. This is one of the ones that were on Amazon Prime, doomed to die forever, unseen by anybody but Andrew. But thankfully, Sentai Filmworks has picked this one up. They plan to release the series on home video in winter 2021. And he's set to stream on selected digital services at a later date. So apparently they have some digital rights as well. Or maybe they got them from Amazon. I don't know.
Hey, Sentai, if you're listening, there is another one on there. Onihei. I think it's worth it. I know it's not as big a name as Blade of the Immortal. But I think that if you can get people excited about it, it's almost as good.
Yeah, yeah. It deserves more than that. Did somebody end up picking up Vinland Saga, do you know?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of other ones on there. There's another Vinland Saga was another one that got stuck on there.
Oh, our Shogun Roku was on there, wasn't it?
No, that was Crunchyroll.
Oh, Crunchyroll had
that?
That's
Crunchyroll's fault. I think I'm going to just at everybody that I know that technically works at Crunchyroll on a daily basis and tell them they need to release Shogun Roku on Blu-ray. So if you want to prevent that, if you're listening right now, you can just resolve it right now. Just make an announcement. Boom. Get it over with.
I know none of them listen to me. I would have changed the entire thing a long time ago if people were actually listening to me.
Change the system for the ground up. P-Cube is set to release Galgun Returns for Switch, Xbox One, and Steam in 2021. I so love there's a lack of a particular company in that list. See, this is the whole thing with Senran Kagura and the creator of that one kind of going, hey, look, you know, this is, we have to kind of mold what we're doing to allow for Sony to release it. And that, I guess, mindset that there's a requirement in order to make a successful game has to be on Sony, which is really sucks, but there's plenty of companies out there that are going, you know, look.
Done with you.
Done with you. Galgun. No Sony platform. Which is, you know, makes sense to me. Rather than having to censor it, just release it everywhere else except for PS4, PS3, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, look for that one. They are, of course, Steam is getting digital only because Steam, I mean, who makes PC discs anymore? Xbox One will be digital only, but Switch will have both a physical and a digital release from, again, P-Cube is going to be doing the release of that, so. Cool stuff. I haven't really been keeping up on Galgun, so I have no clue what Return is, but I'm assuming it's just new girls, same goofy action. Same goofy shooting. Curious if there's some extra benefits to the Switch version of that. Who knows? Funimation. They have confirmed with Anime News Network that the Blu-ray release of Azure Lane will have a TV 14 rating and be uncensored. The announcements they sent to ANN said, "We're aware that inaccurate information on the upcoming Blu-ray release of Azure Lane is causing confusion with fans and consumers. To clarify, Funimation is releasing the uncut home video version of Azure Lane, and the TV 14 rating release is not an edited or altered version."
Oh.
So, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, see, I hate to say this, and I'm going to interrupt for a second, but...
Well, let me get this last part. The thing that kind of spurred this whole thing was that Robert's Anime Corner store listed that on Friday that Funimation's Blu-ray disc release of Azur Lane TV anime will be rated TV-14 rather than TV-MA. The store's newsletter implied that the rating indicated that Funimation's release would be censored. So, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, nice that you're clarifying a little bit of a misunderstanding, but it's not going to change. You already have a
track record?
Track record. Yes.
That includes Martian Successor Nadesco, Bento, Sankare, Nuda. Thanks to big on anime on the forums on Anime News Network, who pretty much listed them all out. Mm-hmm. Karakano, Sakura Diaries, Sugumomo was a recent one. They don't have a good track record.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be mean.
Other releases they've done, like ReZero and Escaflowne.
There's this misconception that we don't want to. We're not ranting about this to make them hurt. We are ranting about this so that they realize that they're hurting themselves. We're not hurting them. They are, and it's. And it's frustrating that they see this as an attack on them, and it's not. It's a – you have to realize you are – okay, what would be the point in going into Burger King and getting a double Whopper, but they only give you one hamburger? You're going to go back to the front counter and ask for your double Whopper. Now, if they say, well, you don't understand, that second piece of meat was not good for you, you're going to go, I don't give a crap. You either give me my double Whopper or my money back.
The analogy they used last time this happened was the idea that was what was given to us. That would be like the, well, when we got the package in here that we reheat before we give it to you because you ordered a Whopper, the package that said Whopper... That's what was in it, so that's what you get. I'm sorry. And it's like, no, what you're gonna give me the Whopper that I paid for. That's what I pre-ordered. That's what I'm gonna get. And I think that's the difficulty that we have right now that we're faced with a lot of the Funimation releases and the fiascos that are kind of often involved with them is like with Sugumomo. It's you won't know until you buy it and you get it in your hands if you know that the quality is going to be good enough or if it's going to be censored or not. And it should be very clear. If you are, especially something like Sugumomo, especially something like, you know, let's say when they do a release of Super HX Heroes, you know what these shows have in them. And you know what the expectations of literally the whole concept in Japan when they make these shows is we'll sell and this is what the studio is hoping for. We'll sell the show on, we'll air it censored because we don't want to put too much of this stuff on television. We want to keep some of it under the covers. And then when we go to sell the Blu-ray, people that love it are going to want to buy the Blu-ray because that's the after show. That's where the good stuff happens. That's where we show everything. And so Funimation fully well knows that that's the situation with these. When they license them, they know that there's a censored version of it. They fully well know that. So when it comes time to do the physical release, it should be very clear what is the contents of that. It should be very clear on the advertisements for it that this will be fully uncensored. And if they don't fulfill that, they shouldn't be upset when people get really ticked off. When Sugumomo comes out and it's censored.
Put a freaking selector so I can choose whether I want the censored or uncensored version. If you really, 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 really gotta badly sell the censored version, which I don't understand anybody who would go to buy HX Eros and expect the censored
they
version.
They want the censored version.
I don't get that concept. I really don't. And why you're automatically assuming that that's, I want a censored version of a show that is absolutely designed to be about, not necessarily hentai, etchy. But etchy. I'm going for the etchy. That's what I went there for.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mommy.
Thanks, Mom. We'll see at a later date, apparently November 24th, if Mom decides to let us have the cupcake or not. Or if she sends us to our room because we bought the naughty thing. Sorry, Mom. Mom, don't open my packages. I told you don't look at my packages, Mom. I told him to send it in the discreet packaging, not to have Funimation all over the box. Now they know. Mom knows it's the naughty stuff that she yells at me about. Now Dad's going to whoop me when he gets home.
There's another one. Heaven's Lost Property. Are you going to censor that one too?
We got more information on the new Week Cross TV anime, apparently, Chris?
Yes. I'm surprised that there's no... It would be around that date, so it was probably on...
You gonna make me scroll through an entire month of news to find a Recross movie?
No, it's a new anime. It's the...
Well, we already talked about the fact there's gonna be a new anime coming out. I was just assuming that we had new information come out on it.
It probably came out before we did our preview, and I missed it.
922, is that right? No, that's September. Well, that would be around right time. Oh, I think I seen it in the Annie chart, and I was talking to you about it, maybe. That's what it was.
Yes, that's right.
So, new information about a Recross movie? Or TV series?
TV show. We got a new Recross. It's going to be delayed. It was, I guess, supposed to be coming out soon, but it's got delayed until January is now the announced date.
So, winter.
And it's it's called Recross Diva Alive. And this is the weird thing about this, is it's kind of like they're taking the We Cross and they're switching it into a VR. They're doing making it into a VR with the We Cross card game, and plus it's a diva battle. So they're like, we're going to take a little bit of you, a little bit of you, we're going to put it all together. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with all that.
Yeah, it seems to be the next stage for everything anymore. Is go we to
see
VR every, now.
Yeah, we see everybody else doing the VR thing. Let's do it too.
Yeah, we got done watching the Gunpla, which went into the Gundam Build series going to VR, because obviously having them on the boards too didn't work out. So they decided, let's go in VR.
Everybody loves idols. Let's do it too.
let's go on there. That's fine though, because I think very early on in the We Cross series, I'm like, so there's no rules to this whatsoever, is there? I'm like trying to figure out what the rule set is, and if maybe possibly they're breaking rules, and then that's some kind of indication if this person's a rule breaker, if this person's by the book. And I'm like, no, I give up. It's just Mario Kata trying to make me cry. Is Mario Kata included? Is involved with this at all?
I seriously doubt it. I think she wiped her hands of this a long time ago.
Series scripts overseen by Tsuyoshi Tamai. Yeah, I don't see Mario Kata involved at all. Yeah, I think she was only involved with the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she kind of like, oh, there you go. You guys can have it. I've created carnage. Have fun. And they all said, let's make idols out of what she did. Yay! People like idols and VR. The synopsis they have so far is anime stories moves the We Cross card game to the online virtual space in We Cross Land as it continues to grow more popular. It wasn't... I guess it technically was popular because the whole idea with the original story was that a lot of idols and popular models and stuff were getting involved with it. The game allows players to become the Lurig avatars themselves. The most popular format in the game is Diva Battle, which allows three players to team up to compete against other units for the most selector fans. Some units are idol-themed, while others are DJ and band-themed. Kind of defeats the purpose of the whole the rig and selector thing, but okay. We'll see how that works out. The whole dynamic is completely ruined with that. Like, that's literally been the concept for several seasons, is the partnership and the bond, or the connection between the two of them. I'll just say that. I don't know.
That's what I said. I we'll see what happens here. I don't know.
Fool me once.
Really
shame on you.
No, I've
fool
liked
me
it.
Twice.
It's just this one.
Shame
this one.
On you.
This one. I don't know. I really don't. We're going into a whole nother realm on this one.
So what? This would be the fourth season, right?
No, it's the third season. It's just the
selector
like
spread.
Sixth
selector.
It's the sixth core.
Well, yeah, because the first two seasons were technically connected, and then it went into another one, but...
Okay, we can go with that.
So, we cross.
Weak sauce.
Weak sauce, as Andrew joked about when he first talked about it, ever. Selector infested, selector spread, selector incited, selector conflated... so we've watched four total seasons. So yeah, it literally was like the first one was good. It took me a while to get in the first one, and I eventually liked how it kind of concluded. Incited did not work, or conflated, and both of those did not work. So it's literally like once I got into Incited, it was like, yeah, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, and then Conflated was fool me twice, shame on you. And then if I get into this Day-Day Live version of We Cross, I'm sorry, Diva E Live, would that technically be the shame on me point?
It's frustrating because I was fine with Lost Storage. It wasn't as good, but that's to be expected. I mean, you're talking about comparing one story to Mario Kata, and I mean it was fine, but yeah, the bringing in the VR and the Diva thing, I don't know how that's gonna, if that's gonna work with it or not. I really don't.
And some of them art styles choices. Oh man. Anyways. Let's see here. Next one we have is Io Sakisaka launches a new manga in early 2021. Sakisaki is known for work on Blue Spring Ride and Love Him Not Me manga. So if you're a fan of that creator, definitely look forward to a new manga that will be launching in 2021. I don't think we currently have any additional information. It's just kind of a heads up to keep an eye out for what's to come around the corner. And I'm certain that once that announcement continues to progress, we will let you guys know. So let's see. A new crowdfunding website has been launched. The site is called Anime Fund, or the company is called Anime Fund, which is a company based in Chiba Prefecture. And as it kind of alludes to, this will be a service that will be focusing on crowdfunding anime projects, allowing for similar things to most crowdfunding sites, such as, you know, tiers they can support into, types of, you know, rewards that can, you know, be returned based on your amount of crowdfunding. But pretty interesting to finally get a full-on anime-based version of this, because we've seen several other companies that have been, of course, using crowdfunding to support what they do, especially Trigger has done a lot of that.
It's a good idea. It'll definitely, I think it'll kind of decentralize things, but it's not going to fix all the problems. And this is one of the frustrations is, and we definitely need to have some kind of a system to protect the consumer. And we can't just automatically assume that just because somebody, because it's not working the way they expect it to work, doesn't automatically mean that it's not wanted. Because I guarantee you this is wanted in a way, but there's a lot of misinterpretation of the data that is provided by, okay, if I put anime A out here, obviously nobody wants it, so therefore nobody wants whatever kind of anime A is. And that's the problem, is like the newest version of Sword Art Online. Nobody wants it. It's not necessarily that we don't want the newest version of Sword Art Online, it's maybe there's something in this version that nobody's really interested in. There's a lot of misconstruing in how crowdfunding works. And I don't hate crowdfunding. I have problems with it.
Yeah. I think the big main thing to consider is that, it's been pointed out several times. I think it gets pointed out pretty much every single time we hear about a big studio that is using crowdfunding of some sort to fund an anime project. Is anime takes a lot of money to make. We're talking in the millions area. So when they have some kind of crowdfunding project is successful, not millions, but several hundred thousands. So whenever you see like a crowdfunding that comes up and you're like, holy crap, they just made this much money. It's like, that's not even a drop in the bucket for how much they need to actually support to build an entire anime series out of it and to do it, you know, with a lot of effort and a lot of quality. So I think that's my only concern with this, is that I think this is primarily going to be shorts. I think this is going to be like passion projects, shorts, very, very small, very contained stories that they want to tell, like maybe a 15-minute short. Maybe at the most you have something like In This Corner of the World, which was another crowdfunding project, something like that, where it is might just be a theatrical length film. But for the most part, this is probably going to be more focused on shorter series, not necessarily like 13-minute or 13-episode long series, which technically, if it is a crowdfunded thing, unless they need to pull some of their funding through some other sources, it technically won't be something they would have to put onto television and have to be a 13 or 12 minute or 12 episode series. It can be something that is linked to what they need in order to tell the story they want to tell, which is technically a good thing, which is something that we have kind of lost from the days of old of OVAs being the very popular thing that it was. We used to get OVAs that were just random episode counts because that was just how long they needed to tell a story, and that's what was needed to be released. So interesting, but nothing technically new, but it is interesting to kind of finally see a anime specifically focused crowdfunding project, which is obviously somebody sees that there's a necessity for that. I know that there's a lot of interviews here and there of creators that kind of hint at it and want to talk about that. So I guess the other interesting thing that might come of this is you might see a lot of creators and directors and producers might come out and say, start talking about this. Like, this is something we've been looking forward to. This is something that we do want to look into. And the reasoning why they're looking forward to those, that might start shaking up the tree, so to speak. Or as Chris would put it, shake the foundries. Shake the core. Take down the system. Don't want to be a part of the system anymore.
No, just disruption.
Down with the committees. Down with the committees.
It's good. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm okay with the system to a point. I like disruption mostly on the aspect of changing the way things are done. The structure has to have, I don't want to say a little bit of chaos, but yes, a little bit of chaos, just enough to make us constantly be on the looking at it and saying, how can I tweak this? We get so stuck in a frame, and we always want to do things in a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with having a framework. The problem is we get so stuck in that framework that we never want to look outside of the box, and we need to be able to look outside the box.
The thing of that is technically because that is a proven track record that has been, you know, they've been going by for a long time. It is the find a company that wants to advertise said light novel, said manga. They will pay a set amount to produce anime based on that said source novel or source material. We make it. We move on. And that is the sad thing, is that there's so much difficulties middle in, which is oddly an odd thing, because here recently we talked in our discussional, I don't know if it was like two episodes, discussional episodes ago, where they were talking about that the amount they were getting paid is going up. So hopefully it's not always, hopefully it's not a thing where this ends up being the answer. Maybe hopefully it turns into a thing where we suddenly realize we don't need it. That things have gotten better to the point where they don't need to rely on other sources. That's a perfectly good other option that can happen. So
yeah, and just like, I mean, as detrimental as it was, as this entire thing that we've gone through recently, we've came away from this with a lot of interesting new things that have came out of it, and
we got to watch a theatrical release of a movie.
I mean, that and
thanks Sentai Filmworks for actually figuring out that you can stream stuff.
Yeah, a lot of things has changed in the last 6 months, as hard as it has been on us. But we have to look at the good things, and one of the things that that this should have shown us is, like I've been saying for a long time, we have our rigid systems. We have to have our structures, but look outside of our structures as well. Like, learn to expand.
Yeah. All right. Our last news is that the director at Burberry Animation Studios, Tensho, has announced that the Quintessential Quintuplets second season will be completed before airing. So this will be one of those ones you don't have to worry about it being delayed by anything. If something decides to stick around for another year, it will be ready to go. And we will not, hopefully, have any delays for it when it is premiered, which I believe is winter. Yes, winter, January 2021. So I'm still mixed on if I'm going to actually watch that one, because I think if I stop now, I'm pretty happy. Best Girl has won, and if I continue any further, I'll know that Best Girl did not win in the end. So I don't know.
We're just going to learn some other Best Girl.
That's true. I can always sell me on somebody else. We're going a little long, but we got to get at least one question in here.
I'm still convinced he's going to marry all of them. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. Which I'm perfectly fine with that being the ending. That way nobody's upset. But yeah, we want to get at least one question in here. I know that we're technically running long, and we can all blame that on Genshin Impact and Andrew and Chris's inability to not talk about Genshin Impact too much. So yeah, we have our question here is from Hank. Says, I love the podcast. Hey guys, I love the podcast, and I think it's probably the best anime podcast out there. Thank you. On to my first question. In some of the early episodes, Chris mentioned that he has some tattoos. Are any of them anime related?
No, sir. I have two.
Unless you consider that the wolves are from Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, we could do that.
I just saving you there, man.
No, I have two wolves. One is in a kind of a foresty scene.
Not on a t-shirt.
Huh?
Not on a t-shirt.
Not on a t-shirt. It's actually on my skin. It's on my shoulder. And it has a purple moon in the background. The other wolf I have is just a headshot, and he is in front of a blood moon that has since faded over the course of the 20 years since I got it.
And that one's on his right butt cheek.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It is on my other shoulder.
Okay. So nothing on your butt cheek?
No, nothing on my butt cheek.
Just confirming. I just want to confirm for everybody listening. I implanted that into people's minds, so I wanted you to dispel it. Second question. What do you guys think about Angel Beats? I thought it was a really, really good show that kind of got ruined by a completely jumbled story.
Angel Beats has its problems. I like it. It's all I really I really have to say it. I do agree. It does have problems, but it's a great show.
Yeah, I kind of think that this is my hazy memory of that show, but I seem to remember loving it like quite a bit all the way through it. But I do seem to remember that there was something towards later parts of it that kind of got, what are we doing here?
It's so funny because it's most all of the key shows, I end up loving them by the time the show is ended, because I once they start revealing all of their secrets, I don't know why I even bother, because Key does such phenomenal to me weaving in of underlying tones that you don't realize are there until the end.
Yeah. It always managed to make you cry every 2 seconds, so mm-hmm. That's always a good thing too. But yeah, that show made me laugh a lot too. So, and I think that's the thing I've always enjoyed about their stuff, is that it's that nice mixture of 1 minute you're laughing your butt off because that dude got shot by his rocket chair into the ceiling of the classroom in order to distract them again. or you're bawling your eyes out because it gives you, a backstory to one of the characters. So, but no, I really, really did enjoy it. I even got a limited sell of it. So that's how much I enjoy the show. Third question. Are you guys familiar with Drakengard Nier Games universe? Yes. Not familiar with the universes, just familiar with the games, that they exist is really all it is, and the art style and everything. So here's my history. The first Nier was announced to be released over here. And that was kind of the earlier moments where I was like really into looking into censorship. And I despised how much censorship was done to that game. I mean, they literally changed the main character and the girl from the very beginning into being father and daughter for some reason, because apparently being brother and sister is way too unnecessary. Some of the dubbing choices they made, I didn't really like too much. So I decided not to touch it. Nier Automata looks fantastic, and I still to this day want to play it, especially since I've been playing the Nier Automata event in Final Fantasy XIV, Realm Reborn. Drakengard, I fell in love with the art style choices in that one when I seen the trailers for it. And then I seen some gameplay of it, and I didn't think that it played too well. It didn't look like it played too well, so I never touched it, but I did love what it looked like, so... I'm kind of an outside viewer looking into it and going, this looks really cool, and then
Nier,
I touch it.
I've always been absolutely impressed by the way a lot of the stuff in Nier looks. I seem to remember Drakengard, but I can't think of it off the top of my head, so.
I just always remember that trailer with the girl in, like, full white, and there's, like, just blood everywhere. It's, like, the contrast is so cool. It's kind of like that scene in Unlimited Blade Works.
Do
with...
Do a search for it so I can see. Because it seems like I was very intrigued by it for a long time.
It reminds you of like the scene with Ilias Phil and in the snow with Hercules, and he just like killed all the wolves, and there's all that blood everywhere. Yeah, I always like that kind. It is kind of sick to think about because we're talking about blood, but. I always love that contrast of like the purity of white and then the blood. Kind of thing.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's another one of those that I'm in pretty much the same boat as Andrew, where I've always wanted to play
fantastic.
It but I never actually got around to it.
Yeah, I like I've always been an outside look at her and I outside looker and I've always loved the style. I just never take the plunge, I guess. That was kind of my hope here recently, because I actually didn't know until recently that Drakengard was tied at all with the Nier series. If that's the case, then I would actually like, since they are technically redoing Nier, and I believe they said they are actually fixing the decision to change the story to, for some reason, be father-daughter, and fix a lot of other things. I might actually jump into it at this point.
That's a lot of it. It's because it's Square Enix, and that's why it's always been in our realm. Yeah. Because we follow a lot of what Square Enix does.
Every time Square Enix sparks, I'm looking at it with a fine tuned comb. So,
and I know that Nier is a Square Enix as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been in our circle of stuff that we pay attention to, but they're kind of like on the list of shame, things that we've wanted to do but never have.
Yeah. Hank says, and a fourth question, do you know any good places to buy cheap light novels? I'm wanting to buy the whole Arya, the Scarlet Ammo, and Daily Live series. He says, parentheses, Toka, best girl.
No, you're wrong. Just saying. I hate to say it, but I don't think there is outside of a used bookstore. I mean, maybe the local library. I mean, that's a really, really tough situation because,
yeah, if you're looking out of for second
hand, I don't see any other way around that.
Yeah, if you're okay with going the used route, there is the option of stuff like eBay. As much as I cringe to say that, is technically one of the few options. I know that I've run into used buying on Amazon before. Light novels is probably a huge question mark because most of my buying used has been anime, TV series, not necessarily light novels. So that is something you can try. But yeah, my first go is always write stuff, but you're talking about series that are probably out of print at this point, so it's going to be difficult to get them. A good option is to check with the actual publishers themselves and contact them to see if they have announced already that maybe we have missed. Sometimes they do announce they're doing new prints, and maybe it's something that we have missed or you have missed, that you can check with them first. So I would probably first check to see if there's new prints coming. If there's new prints coming, you can buy them decently cheap when they get onto Right Stuff because they typically have cheaper prices on the stuff. Go ahead and get a Got Right Stuff subscription or membership before you buy a lot of them because you're going to end up saving with that subscription. And then you can just cancel it after that. I think it technically doesn't re-up, so you don't have to worry about it re-upping. So that's an option as well. So that would be my guess is eBay. And then second point, I would probably say to check with the companies and see if they are doing reprints.
Either way, it's a tough call. Buying used on the internet is really, really questionable. And it's hard to do.
And I was trying to remember, because I did look a while back into possible used outlets, and there was another site, and I cannot recall what the name of it was, that people would do listings for manga and stuff for people to trade. So I will leave it up to the community. If anybody can post in the thread for this particular podcast episode on otakuspirit.com and let anybody know, let Hank know if there's any other options out there for used manga and light novel selling.
I know that a couple of our community members were trying to do that a little bit.
Yeah, we did a couple trades in there as well. So, yep, that's it for now. We'll definitely, we still have about 4 or 5 other emails that we still have not gotten to. So, we'll get to those eventually. Until then, I don't know if you checked the forum to see if we had any new postings, but if we don't, definitely be posting more questions so that we can continue to bring them in. We appreciate you guys sending us the questions. Thank you, Hank, for sending us the question for this episode. And we hope you guys enjoyed this run-through of the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us. And hopefully next week, music episode? I think we'll have enough of each show to do a music episode.
It's a toss-up.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll flip a coin.
It might be crazy for me next week, but we'll see. Hopefully I'll have some time. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and you all take care.
Oos! Love is all the kingdom, believe it, God. Machine, not you, God, needs to matter.